listener production.
The creators of this podcast would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which it is recorded. Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people are the first storytellers of this land. We pay respect to their elders, past, present, and emerging, as well as any Indigenous people who may be listening today.
Everyone relax. This is Topop. I'm Charlie Clawson.
I'm Will Anderson. Hello and thank you for watching.
Wow. What are you... You're right there, mate. You're right? You're right.
I was untangling. I was just untangling. I was just getting ready. I was just settling in. There's people over here as well. I didn't want to ignore the people in the corner as well.
This feels busier than last time we came here. Like, have the seats moved closer to the... Your feet are on the stage.
I got to be honest with you. It does feel like Carl Chandler's put in an extra row of fucking seats for the comedy festival. He snuck it in and he hasn't told anybody. He's moved everybody's seats slightly closer together and everyone is a bit more jam-packed out. Oh, my God. Is this a conspiracy podcast now?
I feel like it's like...
Love this. You coming up with an outrageous thing and me running with it. This feels like we've finally found our vibe.
I've started hunting elk, Will.
What?
I've started hunting elk.
Elk? Really?
Yeah, and I'm really into mixed martial arts now.
I only eat Elf, that furry alien from outer space.
I have no problem. Wow, it's so good to be back here. We were just talking backstage, like it has been 14 years of this little podcast. Mm. We are podcast survivors. 5 years ago, everyone talked about podcasts as being the next boom industry. It's going to be a billion-dollar industry.
We were there from the start and it was going to boom and we were going to ride that boom.
I'd already sort of put payments down on my gold Rolls Royce.
Mate, you moved to the Northern Rivers. You were like, I'm going to live that Hemsworth life. So I'm like, this sweet podcasting money.
Interest rates are never going to go up. This is going to be... a really affordable purchase.
And everything will cost exactly what it costs now forever. Well, everything will go up except Tikus the fucking comedy shows.
Not only that, but it's like sponsorship. It's like you guys have got a built-in audience. We're going to get you a sponsor. It's like, okay, and go. Every week I listen to our show going, well, surely there's going to be a sponsor now. No, okay. Interesting. It's just still us.
I mean, I love when there's like a pause where there would be a sponsor.
Yeah, I know. It's humiliating. It is honestly humiliating.
They put that pause in.
Yeah.
No one's filled that pause.
You listen to
that pause wasn't there when we fucking made the show. We just kept going. There is a pause there to point out that we're not doing well.
That's true. It takes you 5 minutes to get to the start of Abby Chatfield's show because there's so many ads.
Yeah.
Ours is
Won't someone complain there's too many ads on our podcast? Remember those days? Remember when people were like, I can't listen to this podcast anymore. There's too many ads on it. No one said that about our show.
No. Well, the irony being that we said, you know what we'll do for our patrons? Mm. We'll put ad-free episodes on our Patreon.
There's value for money. That's something you can't get from just listening to the show regularly.
We should make our own specific ads for our Patreon subscribers and put them in the episodes.
That'd be
a better business model. They're people who have at least demonstrated that they're willing to invest in this nonsense.
Well, you guys have invested in this nonsense and we're very grateful for that. And to be honest,
this is less a show for us. Like, we literally, it sold out quite early just with the Patreon plug, and we had an opportunity to put on another show, but we just wanted to do one for the people who are the most hardcore about the show so we could just have essentially what is...
Yeah. The most...
We're basically having a shareholders meeting right now.
The most hardcore fans...
We'll open it up to the floor later in the show.
You are the most hardcore fans, and then their unsuspecting partners and friends have been dragged along to this.
We have a little presentation we need to do about some condos we've got on the Gold Coast.
See this pyramid right here? You guys are down here. And we're below that. We're in the catacombs of the pyramid. Well, I was meant to fly in yesterday, but I brought my trip forward because it has been some flash flooding up around the Northern Rivers, which thankfully so far so good. But I did have to get here early, so I had to change all my flights. So I got to the airport quite late, and there was a lot of people leaving from the Gold Coast around the storms, and so flights were being cancelled. Very tense atmosphere. And so when I got onto the plane, the last flight out of the Gold Coast to Melbourne, it was a packed flight, and that tension was still there because a lot of people had been bumped off two or three flights to get on. Anyway, they put me in the exit row. And so I'm sitting in the exit row, and the guy comes out and he does his whole, you know, like emergency procedure explanation and stuff, blah, blah, blah. I'm sitting in the middle seat, and when the guy's done, he's like, just turn to your safety manual and have a read of that. So I have a read. And I turn to the guy sitting next to me, and as a joke, I'm like, hey, mate, if anything goes down, I'll let you take care of it and put it in. The guy looks at me, and with the same kind of intensity of Ben Mendelsohn goes, mate, if anything goes down, it's every man for himself. And I noticed the guy next to me suddenly sort of shifts uncomfortably. And so I just like, oh, nothing's going to go down. We're just kidding. And I go to open my water bottle, forgetting for a moment that when I was in the lounge, I'd filled my water bottle with soda water and screwed the lid on tight. So 2 seconds after I said, I'm sure nothing's going to go down, I opened my water bottle, boom!
I love how you live your life like you're Mr. Bean. Like, like literally at the start of this episode of Charlie Catches a Plane, it's like you're in the lounge filling it up with soda water. Everyone's like, well, that's the Chekhov soda water that was going to pay off at some stage. There's the big guy next to you, everyone for itself. And Charlie's like, I'll just have a drink of my water.
I mean, it wasn't a planned embarrassment, but it kind of, they tend to be the worst kind, right? Like when you've got a face full of soda water, after people on the plane think that you're maybe making a bomb threat. Like, that was the other thing. It's like, if you talk about maybe something going down on the plane, could that be construed as a threat? Like, if I'm like, if anything goes down, like, I haven't mentioned the B word. Mm. Like, could they remove me from the plane for that?
I've got no experience of something going wrong on a plane, so... the only wild speculation at my end. But my recollection is they're not bang up for jokes. No.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess just kidding doesn't get me out of that jam then, does it?
No.
So this episode of Tough Off, I guess it is an episode, but this performance,
well, of course it's an
this
episode.
Staging, what
do you mean?
Where is it in a,
it's a live episode. It's literally how we advertise it. It is a live episode of the show.
Okay. All right. This live episode of Tough Off is a Q&A. So yep. a toe fock, I guess you'd call it. Or a toe fock you, eh?
You know what? I wasn't on board for toe fock, but you got me back. Toe fock you, eh? Yes, toe it is you absolutely way. 100% a toe fock you, eh? Welcome to our toe fock you, eh? Happy toe fock you, eh, day. Hey, hey, it's toe fock you, eh? I like it. I'm in.
We decided that we needed an MC
for
this
course.
Event. So there's only one person to do that job.
Of course.
Mr. John Deakes.
Now this... Thank you. Thank you, John. It's lovely to see you. John is... Oh, hang on. John was about to make Charlie come on
down. I just
down.
Want to say, thank you so much. It's been 10 years and I just got to say, working with you guys has just been like a dream come true.
Thank you.
Thank you, John.
I thought Ian Turpey was great, but you guys, Burjo was fantastic. Yeah. But, you know, when I think back, Ernie Sigley, you know, can't...
Can I tell you this? I used to play footy against Ernie Sigley's son.
Oh, he's all right.
But Ernie would come down to watch the games and he's a foul-mouthed individual, I'll tell you that much. Like a dad, like the stuff he was yelling over the fence, calling people cheats and stuff, but not just cheats, like fucking cheats.
Which is one worse.
Yes.
It's like the song, you know, the Tism song. I'm a cunt, but I'm not a fucking cunt.
Yeah.
I mean, how many times did you think... You were going to get to hear John Deakes say cunt tonight. Because I reckon it's already three more than I expected.
Yeah.
They've got me on new tablets, Will.
But I'm interested.
But John, you're right. John has been with TOEFL for
over 10 years
now. Yeah. He's been our voiceover guy.
And can I say, by the way, of course, not much of a surprise to us, because always when we do a show, John's going to be here. But secondly, we did not expect that, John would just come out and seat people.
Yeah. Unprompted. That was not our idea.
Make announcements before the show. We didn't say that. We were having a chat backstage with the other guest who's going to be on the show, and John had disappeared, and then I wandered out to get some water, and I saw that he was seating people. And I was like, he's like Tom Cruise in a Mission Impossible movie. He goes rogue.
Hey, can I get anybody a drink?
No, John, we want you on stage because, look, yes, it's been over 10 years and you are you're an essential part of the show. Yes. Thank you so much for everything you've done.
No, it's been great.
It's been great. But, John, nothing...
What are you saying, but?
But nothing lasts forever.
What?
Hang on. Because...
What's happening now?
Well, it's been over 10 years, yeah, so yeah. I think it is time for a performance review.
What?
What?
What is going on?
Well,
what?
You know, like, times are tough. You know, everyone's having to, businesses are having to, like, change.
I mean, I was joking about this being a meeting.
Can we get HR in here?
We don't have HR. in comedy.
So we thought, what better way to keep you on your toes, but to maybe bring out a trainee?
What? No, MC. No. You don't want anybody else.
So, ladies and gentlemen, can you welcome to the stage our trainee MC, Mr. Osher Ginsberg. Oh!
Oh! Fuck you. Fuck
all right.
You.
All right, I'm going to have to be like Dana White here and just like hold you back. All right, guys. All right, just let's save it for the show.
What's this bullshit?
What is going on? This is...
No, you're in... You're
I, have, I have given you
don't,
10 years of my life.
And a kidney. And I appreciated it.
The
I didn't
best
know,
years of my life. I've given... Shut up!
Okay.
I've given... Whether we've been at the Sydney Opera House, the comedy... thing, the this thing, the airport thing, the seating thing, and what's this bullshit?
John, this is just, it's a performance review. You deliver well today, then maybe you'll keep your job. But you're
No, fuck this.
But... well, is it...
Osher.
Hey, is
hang on, that's not working. Is Osher's microphone working? John, did you pull out Osher's microphone?
I'm sorry, Osher. Could you sign the book for me? Make it out to the king.
You talk into this one for a second. I'll work out this other one.
It's D-double-E-K-S.
Yeah, you got it. Dear Deeks.
He's not very bright, is
Congrats
he?
Congrats on the marathon win.
Yeah. Fuck you. Oh, I'm sorry, Osh. I didn't... No, from now on it's nice because we're all collegic.
Yeah, okay. Mate.
No worries.
Thank you. Now, guys, this is what we're going to do. So you have 10 questions each. This is the questions that have been put forward by you guys. How are we going there, Will?
Bullshit.
No. Carl, we've lost a microphone.
You know what? I've listened to the episode where you fucking lost a whole episode. I'm like, this, maybe we're a part of another like secret lost TOEFOP episode because the microphones don't work.
Oh, bugger, his microphone's working again. Hey, mate, I gave you $20.
All right, we could just yell.
I mean, you guys could try to do comedy without me, but it seems...
That's a good point.
Well, if I could get some fucking stage time.
All right.
Wish I worked at the ABC.
We'll get going. All right. Well, here's what we're going to do. I just was waiting to see if they were bringing a new mic up, and I think we have an answer. Okay. So these are the questions that were put forward by you guys. So there's 10 for you.
Yep.
And there's 10 for you. So you guys have the chance to moderate... You had the chance to moderate the questions in whichever way you see fit.
I don't know. how many years of TOEFOP and you still can't get your fucking microphones together.
Is your mic just gone as well?
They were working before, brother, don't worry.
John, where can they get some new ones?
Now we've lost all our microphones.
Share mine.
John, I'm out this way.
Oh my God.
Aren't I a scallywag?
So we have two mics working, is that right? All right, okay. I guess we're going to have to backup singers with this.
We'll share. No, we'll share it. You have that one.
All right, okay. We'll get through this somehow.
All right. So.
Oh, thanks.
Do these questions come from anyone in particular or...?
So some have been submitted by people in the audience. Yes. Some have been submitted by people who are at home. Some have identified themselves. Some have not identified themselves for reasons that will become clear.
Right.
And we also asked people to specify whether they are or are not members of the medical profession, because obviously if you listen to the show, you know we value those people very highly. So how do you guys want to work out who starts? Want to paper, rock, scissors this?
No, let Starboy here do it first. The new kid in town.
Well, Will's off stage. This is
paper, rock, scissors it.
No. The questions was for... Was...
No. To see who goes first. You ask the questions first. Okay, ready? Two. John, that doesn't count. Okay.
Well, thank you, Osha.
All right.
Now, this is from Julia.
I can tell you worked at Channel 7.
Is Julia in the house?
Why, thank you.
Is there a Julia in the house?
Okay.
Hi, Julia. Okay. A friend of yours lends you their car for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. When you open up the boot, you find a human hand in...
It's a little distracting.
And you were worried about me helping people seat. You find a human hand inside the boot of the car.
Yeah.
What do you do?
Okay, so this is a question for Will and I. I'll feed this.
Well, I haven't heard anything that's going on. Okay. Trying to fix the microphones.
It says, somebody who you loved and adored for 10 years who worked for nothing gets replaced by some bloke who does some shit on TV. Now, a friend of yours lends you their car and for whatever reason, when you open up the boot of the car, you find a human hand inside. What do you do, Will?
I am not opening the boot. This is a ridiculous idea. Why am I opening the boot of some car?
Because you've gone to IKEA and you've picked up a new PAX 3 wardrobe.
Is that a callback to something that I also didn't hear?
No.
Oh, that was just a joke. That's just sorry.
That's just a wardrobe you get from IKEA.
Sorry.
You wanted a genuine reason for opening the boot.
I've just got to get the wardrobe home, so that's fine. Why am I making a fuss about it?
But you open the boot and there's a human hand in there. That is the premise of the hypothetical.
Yeah, okay.
What do you do?
Not my problem. I'll give... Absolutely. Why is it any of my fucking business, this human hand? It's not my hand. I need the fucking thing to get this bloody shelf you've invented back to my house. And probably need a hand putting it together.
No.
See how easy comedy is? I wasn't even concentrating. I'm trying to fix the microphones. Why don't you all try a bit harder?
It's a good point.
He's right, you know. He's getting very angry as he gets older, isn't he?
Well, I think he's doing a good job. He's doing a great job. Okay, Osh.
All right, Osha.
Next question.
All right, next question. Will's dream comes true. Oh, he's going to need to listen to this one.
Can you hear this, Will? Just give us a thumbs up.
All right. So, Will, your dream comes true and you become best friends with Keanu Reeves. Keanu then says, well, I want you to be in my next John Wick film.
Hang on. So I just pause on that impression for a second. Do it. Can I hear that?
That was the Parenthood one. It was a deep cut.
Do it again.
God, he's trying hard, isn't he?
Do it again.
Will, I want you to be in my next John Wick film.
Oh, you need more California surfer in it.
Yeah.
Oh, more like, whoa. Go.
I want you to be in my next John Wick film, bro.
Okay, that's a bit more drag queen there.
What role, Will, when you're in the next John Wick film with your brand new best friend Keanu,
yep,
what role do you play?
I'm not going to spoil our friendship by working together like Charlie and I did.
And still no, still nothing? Nothing?
If only there was some retail outlet that sold microphones.
Yeah. JB, you've done it again. High five.
Finally, a sponsor on the show.
Mary J is in the house, yeah? Mary J?
Mary J.
Mary J over there.
Okay.
I suffer from an affliction called giving off major narc vibes. Is that a young person thing?
People think you're a
cop. Can you qualify as that narc as in like...
narcotics?
Or narcissist?
No, I think it's...
Now I'm on the page. I get it. How do you suss out the right people? How do I tone down my narcissistness?
No. I'll take this one. As someone who also gives off major narc vibes, mainly because I played a cop on television, it's very hard to score. My suggestion is that you become friends with very, very famous people who are quite known for their drug habits, and they get you the drugs themselves.
Or except for one night at a nightclub in Byron Bay where, like, I went around the entire nightclub trying to weave my usual magic and everyone said, we cannot help you out, you're here with a cop.
Yeah. And that gets even harder when you're at the said nightclub with another actor who played your partner on said TV show. And people become convinced you're working together to bring down a drug ring. All right, next question.
What is the most inside joke that the two of you have? This is from Blair.
Speaking of the actor we're just talking about, Ditch as in Hole.
Oh, yeah.
That's been making us laugh for 20 years.
So funny. Like, it was, I mean, we've told this story, I'm sure, before on the podcast, but our friend Ditch.
Logie award-winning actor, Ditch.
Yeah, exactly. And it was a Sunday. It was definitely, the sun had been up again for a while.
Yes.
I was like one of those sort of things where it's like who's going to stay the longest sort of vibes, you know? And he'd made it a fair way.
Yep.
And we were really towards the end of it, right?
I think it was just the three of us.
Yeah.
The three last men standing.
I do feel like that might have been the case.
Yeah.
And he finally called a cab. And as someone who has a distinctive name, like, well, I don't know if you'd understand this, Osher, but don't know if you've ever had this experience, but occasionally when you're trying to book something under your name, the person at the other end might not clearly hear what it is that you're going to... And so we just overheard, hello. Oh,
we're back.
Oh my God. Thank you so
Thanks,
much.
Adrian.
A huge round of applause to the tech team who have been scrambling. No other show. This is the true essence of who we are. You've seen it in person. Our incapacity to even talk into a microphone.
Yeah.
The bare minimum for the profession we have chosen.
Yeah. I mean, when you said this was going to be a show for the real ones, had no idea. This is like,
you know, you don't want to go and see the Brian Jonestown Massacre and them to get through 14 songs and play well. You want to see them punch each other and throw shit and have
two
a meltdown. Oh my God.
I feel like I'm at a rally.
What kind of rally?
Well, yeah.
Don't go.
So hang on, you're trying to book a car?
No. Okay.
He's trying to book a taxi.
And the thing about it too is that we were sort of having our own conversation.
Yes.
You know when you're only sort of half listening?
Yes. And we weren't listening in to him, but something he said just
because he was
through.
Getting increasingly frustrated. He was on the phone. It had been a long night, and you could sort of see him trying to get this cab. But the person on the other end of the phone was having trouble understanding
what the name Ditch was. And at one stage, to the point where he said, no, I didn't call you anything.
Oh!
Which I think was what initially caught our attention.
Yeah.
But it was the next bit that we have quoted to each other since that moment. And he just went, no, as in hole.
And so to this very day, if I say to Will, hey, I caught up with Ditch.
I was like, oh, as in hole.
Yep.
Like to this day. That's it.
That's beautiful.
It's pretty,
thank you, Blair.
It's
good
pretty
question.
PG, but it's
that's
like...
That's a good question.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
This is apparently from someone called JD.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. JD. Big shout. JD Denham. He runs the Tea Room, which is our Facebook page.
Hey. There's JD right there, front and center.
Here.
Get your fucking feet off the stage. Mate, he paid for part of that stage. Yeah, so,
yeah. Are JD,
you JD? JD,
stand up.
JD,
stand up.
JD, everybody.
They'll think I'm having a Len, but this is your question. You ask.
Would you still jack off if, when you came, your semen was just one big sperm and you had to fight it afterwards?
So, if you're wondering,
JD, what... you've done the game.
I'm fucked. They're all after me, Will. They're all after
one me. One giant sperm and you had to fight it. That,
okay.
That wait. Would be an incentive. But what a way to spend your day. Like.
Can we just break down...
So the guys you have to fight get littler and littler the more you do it.
But so the mechanics of this, right? So how is that... So did you say it's a giant sperm? How big are
one
we talking?
One giant sperm. Human
like
size?
Human-sized?
Like so human-sized.
Does it come out like normal
like,
size?
Like a genie.
And then expands?
Yeah, like a puff of smoke and then...
I don't know if any men in the room have had a catheter, but I'm flinching right now. I'd like to... Thinking of something that large coming out of my urethra.
No, okay. No, no. It doesn't come out like big. It like comes out like a... Comes out like in a thin sort of sperm.
Oh, like that stuff. And you then get like... Selly stuff that expands.
Yes.
Ah, yeah, yeah. Polyfiller.
No more gaps.
No more faps. Yeah, okay. After this one.
All right. So it's a giant sperm.
What's
it's...
the fight over?
Yeah.
Wow.
You need a reason?
I don't know if I'd be that keen on, you know, looking through the Target catalogue if I knew there's going to be a fight at the end of it.
I mean, I love the idea that it's still the Target catalogue for you. Oh, so that's
they were
real...
lean times before the internet. Yeah. John knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Barely
plus,
brass.
Plus you had a Target day, Matt. So.
And I'd like to welcome the Little Sisters of Charity who've come in today. Hope you enjoy it. Thank you, sisters.
I mean, it definitely would be a story to tell. I think just that you do it at least once, so for the next Tofop Live, we'd have like 10 minutes to fill before we put our guests out.
Well, huh? I mean, but if I... I love that your thought, like your first thought is, how do we make this into content?
It's my thought with everything.
Like, is it just me or is it everybody who is now, like, is this like a thing that is happening to all people? Like, is it a, or is it just literally just me? Okay, all right, interesting. Okay.
And does it happen every time or is it a once off?
Yeah. Is it like, and so kind of like the Prestige or whatever, right? Like, and there's, so you're kind of fighting over who the real, like, so if the sperm wins, they become me.
Oh my God.
And then you have to, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, yeah, okay. I'm back.
I'm sort
board.
Of seeing sea monkeys. Sea yeah. monkeys.
Yeah, semen monkeys.
Okay, radiation yeah. and
but they. A sperm has a tail and a, whatever the front part of the tail is, that's it. So how's it gonna hurt me? Strangle me with its tail.
Just go with it.
I reckon I can take it.
I mean,
it's
yeah,
a
I love
gag.
It. You're like, yeah, I mean, yeah, I mean, well, you were fine with it up to that point, but you were like, well, who's the sperm gonna fight?
Well, I'm just making like, sure it doesn't have, like, because it's mutating. Maybe it's got teeth now, maybe it's got arms, maybe it's got a face. I don't know. Like, are you just saying it's a giant sperm? Okay, I can beat that.
Can we just wrap this up by asking JD, how'd you get up with this fucking question?
I'm a sick, sick individual. Like,
he listens to Tofop, I think he's probably the.
He's
probably
been raised by us.
Son. And it's definitely a conversation you need to have with a future sex partner, though.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I'm glad you're here. Listen, when I finish...
I mean, it is going to be tougher to come inside someone.
Yeah. I mean, if you wear a condom, you just choke that fucker out, right?
Just, I mean, what a brutal image. Like ejaculating and then having to choke your own sperm to death.
Yeah, imagine being a teenager too and it happens for the first time. You've locked the bathroom door, your mum's like, are you okay in there? Yeah, don't come in. Don't come in here.
She's like, it's totally normal. You're like, I don't reckon this is.
Mum, I need you to buy me some size 15 socks. Yeah. Don't ask why.
And a reciprocating saw and some lime. this is from Elizabeth, not a doctor, but a mum and a nurse and a stepdad and a... Oh, no, a mum and a nurse.
Don't no, put on your
the
radio
mum and
voice.
A nurse and stepdad are a GP. Okay, so... Oh,
all right, so not a doctor, but related to doctors.
I'm not a doctor, I'm the son of two doctors.
Well, does that count, being related to a doctor? Yeah.
Why not?
I'm the son of two doctors. So, Elizabeth would like to know, are your guests paid or is it worked out like a bartering system? Mates rate?
Bad question. Not a good question.
Helping each other out.
Nah.
They get a percentage of profits.
Yeah. Every ad, they get a percentage of every ad we buy.
guaranteed. Well, like 50% of ads.
We're you do your own podcast. Do you pay guests to come on your pod?
No, but I did have to one time, and one time only, I paid for the hair and makeup of somebody because they realised that we're going to be on camera. And I'm like, you are a big enough guest that I'd pay for that.
Can you tell anything?
No.
And I really appreciated it.
Well, you know what I mean, I will say that we are kind of conscious of that, obviously, but we normally just invite people on who either just want to come on or people who have something to plug that we feel like there's some sort of something in it for them.
JB, you've done it again.
Or people we can trick into emceeing for us, yeah.
Oh, mate, like we could not tell him it's on. He'll be. That's the one person I can guarantee is going to be here.
Gaz is not a doctor, it says. Gaz, okay. All not right, Gaz. A doctor.
Not a doctor.
Okay. Guys, do you have a favourite episode or storyline in the history of TOEFOP?
I think the biggest horse in all of Norway is probably up there.
That's true.
The Bin Trilogy seems to be...
Oh, wow, okay. Well, that was a little survey. They didn't give a fuck about that Norwegian horse.
But the bins.
As soon as you talked about bins, when were they going to talk about bins?
I don't ride my bicycle past a horse every day on the way to daycare, but I ride past the site of the bin misconduct every day.
Oh, Osha, well, I want yours and Deeksy's opinions on these bins. Like, let's talk. Like, this is more interesting.
All right,
More interesting than us saying what the most. Like, clearly, they want to hear about bins, and we've got two new people to share their bin opinions. They're bin pinions.
Well, where do we start? We start with dog poo.
Okay, yep.
So that's a hot button issue. Great. So dog poo. Where's your stance on putting dog poo in someone else's bin? Yes or no?
It's a go. Yeah.
Oh.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Osh.
If it's bin night, yes.
So if it's on the street, is it fair game?
Fuck yeah.
Okay.
It's like hard rubbish.
On the street, fair game.
Definitely agreed.
Okay. What about dumping into neighbours' bins? When is that okay in any circumstance?
Again. On bin, if you're down the driveway of someone else's home, no.
Okay. Yeah, I agree. That crosses the line.
On bin night, though, I wheel my green bean down the road, just fucking into other people's shit.
What do you mean? How often does that happen?
Every 2 weeks. Our neighbours have this fuck off tree that just has a possum massacre in it every night, so our backyard is littered with leaves.
Right.
So every 2 weeks in your neighbourhood, your neighbours see TV's Osher Ginsburg.
I know, that's what I was just thinking.
The wandering thing. The neighbourhood.
They don't see me because it's like 1 a.m.
That doesn't make it better, mate.
Do you know want to know the funniest part about that is when all my bin issues were going on, Osher and I lived literally like 2 blocks from each other.
Oh.
So there was bin shenanigans happening within
blocks. Did you ever put anything in Charlie's bin?
Did you ever steal my fucking bin?
Do you ever have an extra bin?
And those unruly fucking teenagers that I'd hear every night?
Yeah. Because it'd be even better.
No, but I did once do a TikTok dance on the roundabout very late at night.
I mean.
Thought you looked bloody familiar.
They were selling your old place, by the way. I've gone by there recently.
Thank God. Fuck those neighbours. I had the.
They became my fucking neighbours!
What?
Remember, they became my fucking neighbours.
Yeah, all right. Have I talked about the shocking neighbours? Oh, yeah, ma'am. Like, I don't hate anyone, but I fucking hate these two people. Like, I honestly...
Why?
Like, John, go listen to TOEFOP. There's a bunch of episodes that will explain it. But I was back in Sydney a few weeks ago because one of the guys, he has a, like, he's a...
Don't out it. Like, it's a...
It's a...
Body work.
A spinal manipulation
That's
service.
It, yes.
Is what he does.
Not a doctor. Sorry, chiropractors.
Oh, you don't have to say sorry. They're listening to Joe Rogan, not this.
But my spite was at such a level, there was a point where that building, I had a few friends that I was talking to about potentially maybe we go in and we buy the building because it had like 3 apartments. And the only reason I wanted to buy it was so I could evict these fucking people. I really wanted to be the one to go down there and just fucking kick them out. And I know landlords are incredibly popular at the moment. Everyone's on the side of landlords.
What was wrong with them?
That could have been me.
Are you two neighbours?
We were very close to each other.
I wish I was your neighbour.
Well, you do a good job today and we'll see what happens. You can be my stage neighbor.
Uh, This question is for you, Will.
Okay.
Charlie.
No.
What? Charlie is struck by a car.
You said that in a real weird way.
Charlie is riding his bicycle to the gym. And by the way, look at these fucking gains. Look at this guy. Charlie is riding his bicycle to the gym. He's struck and killed by a car.
Uh-huh.
Witnesses say he was fighting with a magpie when it happened.
Yeah.
You are asked to make a statement to the press. What do you say?
He died doing what he loves.
Can I tell you a true story what happened during the week? We had some rain in Melbourne, down in South Melbourne. I was riding my bike and I got caught in the tram tracks and I fell over and I broke my dick. My girlfriend's here and she knows. It's busted. It's got bruising all over it and my balls are wrecked.
Prove it.
Don't tempt
me. Take it off! Take it off! Take it off!
Only the front row would know.
But please don't, though. You know, like, I know this is all fun and games.
Sorry, no, it's true. I've got I'm putting Nepenthem.
What are you saying? Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm serious. Honest to God, it's true.
What, did you hit really?
I hit the middle bar on the bike as I'm going down. And it two balls bruised, and my dick has got bruising all the way down it.
Lower. Well, okay. Well, you know what? We have a lot of medical professionals in our audience.
Can I? Yeah. What? So.
Oh, you don't have to be medical, but I don't care.
So, what's the treatment for a bruise
after the show?
Well,
a bruised shaft.
Ice, but Nepenthem. I'm put on the
grazing. Like the tattoo stuff.
I mean, I have to Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Is your partner like, John? That's enough in Panther. You don't need to put that much on.
And
stop.
No.
How many times a day do you apply the Nepenthem?
And the bruising.
John,
just
you've
has
made
to...
it. You have to fight it.
Anyway, enough about me.
So, can I one more?
Didn't bring that up. Enough about you.
Hey, just on the cycling thing, though, but are you a full, like, weekend warrior, lycra clad?
Oh, God, No, in fact, only recently my partner's bike got stolen. So before
is she your partner or your girlfriend? Like, where are we with this?
Well, my girlfriend. She's my partner. All right. So I used to ride her bike.
How long have you been together?
But she was my boss on Wheel of Fortune 33 years ago.
Hey. Ooh, sexy. Now, this is what we want. Show salacious.
And we got together stories. About three or four years ago when she moved over, and she works at the ABC, actually. Yeah. And so anyway.
Something about spinning that wheel that's a turn on? That's
just funnily enough, and if you don't believe me, this is the next question. Okay. Does Dixie ever use the line, come on down in the bedroom?
Hey.
Look at it.
It's true. Does.
It's a legit question.
No, I don't. Certainly not at the moment, I can tell you. Yeah. So I used to ride her bike, a girl's bike. Yeah. But
kids, hang on, is this the go Russell go of TOFOP?
You should have ridden the girl's bike,
but it got stolen.
Doesn't have the bar.
It got exactly yes. Well. Thank you. But it got stolen, so I bought a cheap bike, and that's what happened. That's all I got. Thank you, everyone. Next question.
Okay.
Speaking of him, how hard/easy was it to get Russell Crowe on the show? That's from Maddie.
Yeah. Well. I mean, we would love to take credit for that, but we had very little to do with it. That was Mike III, all he's doing. We had a production meeting and he said, look, your 500th is coming up. What do you think about getting Russell Crowe on the show?
And to be honest, we were both a little cool on it. We were both a little like, we just don't know how this will go and I don't want to spoil the joke and it's just funny like the way it is and does it ruin it by actually having him on the show and making him aware of it.
Because
like,
we weren't, I mean, look, you'd interviewed him on Triple M.
Yeah, I've talked to Russell a bit.
And so we thought that he must be,
yes.
Russell strikes me as the kind of guy he maybe occasionally goes to Google and types in.
T-O-F-O. The fact that he hadn't brought it up, to me, I was just like, well, maybe we should just keep it like that. He's like, I've talked to him a bunch of times. He's never mentioned it in any of those interactions. Maybe it's just one of those things like when my dad comes to the seats of my comedy shows where at the end we just nod and you know.
That happened.
that happened, right? Yeah. And that's fine. You don't need to, that we've got a thing going on. And so I was worried, honestly, about like, but Mike thought it would be a fun thing to do. And he
went early. Yeah. Like, this is like, I think almost like 2 or 3 months before the 500th, he put the call out and he had some shadowy contacts that he hasn't been able to reveal to us. And yep. Then literally, like, we actually recorded the 500, so we thought it was done. And then I got this very panicked phone call from him to say, I just got a voicemail from a guy who claims to be Russell Crowe. I don't know if it's him. And I'm like, well, who else did we discuss it with? It was just the three of us, right? And he said, yes. And I'm like, well, I'm pretty sure that's probably going to be Russell Crowe. Otherwise, Hamish and Andy are being real pricks. Like, if this is some kind of prank, man, it's real
fun.
It'd
be great to get that exposure on Hamish and Andy.
One day, Will. We can dream. So then even on the day that... So it was very... I think it was just a text at that point between Mike and Russell. And it was literally his phone number.
Yeah.
And then we got on and Mike was... Remember, Mike, he was more nervous than us.
Yeah, because there'd been a detail. I won't go into it. I can't remember if I talked about it on the episode or not, but there was a detail in the message that was very similar to a detail that in my previous interactions with Russell, like, it was one of those things where you're like, I feel pretty confident that this is him and this probably will happen. But Mike's nerves about it happening on the day, because I just went into it going, I think this will probably happen. But then his nerves about whether it was going to happen or not started to rub off on us.
You can hear it in his voice when he's like, oh, I'm just going to put the guys on now.
Yeah.
Well, because we certainly didn't know how long it was going to go for. And we did not know how it was going to go. It could have been like a very quick interaction. It could have been a very awkward and unpleasant interaction, but it was actually, he was really lovely.
He was awesome. Yeah. And like, we thought we were going to get maybe 5 to 10 and he stuck around for half an hour. The only regret is I had it in my head and I'd written it down to ask him about One Heart at a Time.
Oh yeah, I know.
That was the one thing that I wish, but in retrospect, like, you know, we got lucky. You don't want to push it, you know? I feel like we had a really good interaction and maybe if we'd just gotten too toe-foppy, maybe it would have fucked everything up. So I'm kind of glad we let sleeping Russell
lie. We would have got on a roll. We would have been like, One Heart at a Time, that's not enough. What about Go Russ Go?
Dixie, 50 years at the sheriff's office, have you got a Russell Crowe story?
Oh yeah, must have.
Can I stand?
Yeah.
Why?
What do you mean?
Is it testicles? Is it your poor, is it your sore penis?
Can we get his some ice for really Dixie's dick?
I was going to say, he's dressed very youthfully, like normally he comes in a tuxedo, but where's your skateboard, Dixie?
I like to be hip.
Yeah, any Russell Crowe stories?
Oh, yeah. Usher started hosting our show.
My son used to work at Crown, and Russell would come along and... Oh, no, I can't tell the story.
Okay, never mind.
Great one for after the show. What about you, though? You must have a Russell Crowe story.
Well, it's along the lines of the One Heart at a Time. He's a very generous man, as you heard on the thing. And we were texting about something on back when Twitter, before it was a truck stop toilet, full of Nazis and anarchists. He would write a thing going, that was what you were thinking, it was really good. Thank you. And right after my son was born.
I didn't realise Osher Ginsberg was a man of 1,000 voices. Yeah.
All of them sound like...
Jeech has big shoes to fill.
All I got is JB.
Yeah. He texted saying, congratulations on the birth of your son. And I ran back and forth and I said, I'm working a lot and, you know, I'm missing some stuff and I don't want to end up being the guy in the Harry Chapin song. And he wrote back, no word of a lie, word for word, he wrote, mate, no matter what, sometimes we all end up the bloke in the Harry Chapin song. And I was like,
Who's Harry Chapin?
The Cat's Child in the Cradle.
Arrived just the other day.
Cat's in the Cradle. Right. Yeah.
It was really lovely. Okay. It was a really sweet man.
Okay.
Hey, if something ever happened to you and Will, if something happened and Will had to take care of Iona.
My daughter.
Yeah. How would he go?
I'm not going to do it. What possible circumstance has arisen that I am so far down the list of people.
Will, that was me. So Charlie Charlie's gone and you have to take over looking after Iona.
Yeah, but how have I possibly been nominated for this fucking position? Like, what world... He has so many more qualified fucking friends. All right. I love that you think that you are clearing this up, but I know... I know that he has like 100 friends and acquaintances and probably met someone today who is more qualified. Whoever worked out the fucking sound on this show, mid-show, is more qualified to raise his daughter than I am. Osha is. Osha! Deeksy I'll go head-to-head with, but... like,
I didn't know Osha was going to be here.
Yeah.
I think, I reckon you'd do an okay job. I think you'd be all right. I mean, you've got animals, you've got pets. It's kind of the same thing.
It's pretty similar, but when they get sick, you can't kill them.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was the option for the animals either, to be honest.
I mean, what would be the circumstances that would lead to this? It'd have to be some wacky sitcom premise where it's like a judge, like, awards you custody.
They were two friends who had a podcast like that.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? We, like, decide.
Yeah.
Like, this is this is like a Paul Hogan, like, Jacobson movie. Like, it's for tax
Charlie
purposes. Yeah, that's right. We're both, Gemma's married to you, but we're playing both playing the part and the other's going and doing something nefarious. In like, okay, all right. Yeah. So, I've got...
But this is funny. If...
oh, man. It's a real. We were just at the start. I was trying to build something, but you undermine my confidence a little bit there, John. All right. So I'm being you. I'm raising Iona every let's just say for 6 months.
All right, 6 months. Yeah,
6 months. We'll I could do 6 months for some reason.
I go to jail. Yeah. Gemma and I go to jail.
Yes. Okay.
For 6 months.
That's right. All right.
We're
okay.
in prison, and I like it's just you're the only hope. It's like my here's
because
a piece
it's
of house.
Something related. The crime was something related to the finances of our podcast.
because you
were responsible for the credit card, you both go to jail. Yeah. But like I to keep
the
everything
the judge just doesn't believe that we could have a business for 14 years and take no money.
Yeah.
They've got this seriously must be a front just on the suspicion.
So the judge sentences me to raise Iona. Yeah. It's like a Mighty Duck situation.
I mean, all you
to
have...
To teach me responsibility for my actions, I have to raise your child for 6 months while you're in prison. Yeah. And you're both in the same prison. That'll be fun.
Yeah. 24-hour conjugal visits. That's when you get in the prison, in this fantasy.
With giant sperm.
Yeah. And in the
I'm
third
still with
act,
this guy.
In the third act, Will kind of looks at her and says, I honestly thought I was parenting you, but you... are parenting me. And there's a moment like the juxtaposition, this tall man, and that's the cover of the DVD. Yeah. Beautiful. And
then but it won't be an analogy. It'll actually be the truth. She'll know more about how to raise a child than I
and
will.
And then you get the ugly Kid Joe version of Cats in the Cradle.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
because
you want to like it.
Yeah.
Because that's the most modern song reference I could come up with. Ugly Kid
Joe. Ugly Kid Joe,
from 40 years ago.
Okay.
For this next question, there is a, well, let's say there is a correct answer. And Charlie and Will, if you get this answer right, John, tell them what they'll win.
Well, you'll win a trip for two on a trip for bus from Sydney to Perth. And then you'll stay in Perth for 36 hours and you'll get on the bus and go back to Perth. And that was a real prize we had on Wheel of Fortune.
That is
guests will sit for hours while they watch the Nullarbor go by.
That is just proof that muscle memory is not a thing.
Would you rather spend a year stuck on a submarine or would you rather spend a year stuck on the International Space Station?
Okay, let's open this up to all of us, all right? A year in a submarine or a year in the International Space Station?
Would I be with you?
Sure. Yeah, okay. All right, we're there together.
You two... Space Station, because I like a view.
Yeah, I think Space Station. I mean, I was going to say I get claustrophobic, but then I guess you're going to be claustrophobic. Can you be... Like, is one more claustrophobic? You're both in a metal tube for both of them, but the underwater one feels more claustrophobic, right?
Look at this room, mate. If there's a fire, we're all going to die. Claustrophobia.
Oh, sorry, John has to say that for legal reasons. So we've just slipped it into the show, but we were meant to do the warning up the front.
What about you, Osh?
I'd definitely say Space Station because, the submarine thing would fucking kill me. You're terrifying being underwater for that long.
Yeah.
With a nuclear reactor.
The only thing I know about submarines is like from the movie Under Siege, and it feels fun.
That's not a submarine.
Isn't that a submarine?
No. Oh. You're thinking of a Hunt for Red October.
Oh, am I? Well, that's not as fun then.
Under Siege is on a boat.
With a Scottish man.
I thought there was going to be like a birthday cake and stuff.
with Erica Alenia popping out of it.
It felt like a real good fun vibe, I've got to be honest.
When I used to work in the video store, if you borrowed Under Siege, you get to that scene with the birthday cake and the tracking would go fucking haywire because so many people had paused it. Advance one frame at a time. Stretch the tape out. Do people know what VHS tapes are? Do people remember? Do you know what tracking is? Do you know what frame advance? Okay, anyway.
Is there a specific medical profession that you would rate higher than all of the others?
Oh, good question. Interesting. Is there one medical professional that we value above others?
The answer to that question is no.
Let's not think so fast. Well, you can have your own opinions,
mate. I didn't make our friends play off against each other for some ill-defined role on our fucking show. And I'm certainly not going to divide the most loyal demographic of our audience. I'm lumping all medical professionals in together.
Okay.
Because we already know within the medical community, they already know what the hierarchy is. It's one of those communities where it's very clearly defined what the hierarchy of the medical community is.
Right.
I'd like to hear from them where they fall.
Are there any medical professionals in the audience?
By round of applause, clap your hands if you're a medical professional in the house tonight.
They've got better things to do. Why the fuck would they be here? They're off saving lives.
They're just smart enough to know they did not want to get involved in this shit.
A dick doctor, perhaps?
Yeah, that's probably why they stayed silent in retrospect.
I'm not examining.
They saw that coming, so to speak. They said, I'm not fighting whatever that is.
Well, how about this? Is there a medical professional that would be of the most value to this podcast?
To this podcast?
Yeah, like I don't know. Like, dick doc.
Yeah. Fucking psychiatrist, Jesus Christ.
Mate, no. Absolutely not.
Awesome.
Really?
You've both made a lot of money off your trauma, but come on.
Mate, we've got nothing else. Like, that's what we have.
What about a plastic surgeon?
Like, what is that?
Well, we're doing everything on video now as we get older. Just a bit of a little...
Look at you. You're already the most attractive man in podcasting. I feel like that's what's been holding us back. I feel like you need to get a bit more uggo.
Well, you can.
You need to get more relatable. So I'm getting old, you know. I'm a bit of a fucking mess in my general life. But you've got it all two together. It's too much.
Well, okay.
Because we're not an aspirational podcast.
Body modification.
Body mod.
So
yeah,
I get
but
like
the
horns
other way around.
Or something
horns,
like
yeah.
that. Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
I get
but
horns
they're microphones.
And
you get microphone
that will
horns.
Still not work for some reason.
Because they're pointed in the wrong direction.
Reverse horns. The tip's in my head and the bass is on the outside.
Yeah, this will work.
Yeah.
This is from Natalia. Uh-huh. If you encountered AI versions of each other that were indistinguishable from the real person, what question would you ask them, like the Russell Crowe text? What information would you require to try to see if they were real or not?
Has to be something that we haven't talked about publicly. That's the trick here, right?
Yeah,
because the AI, what they're drawing on is anything that's publicly been said, so it can't be anything that we've ever talked about on the podcast, because that's what...
Okay.
Oh, yeah, I've fucking thought about this. So you thought I was going to give a flippant answer to this? No fucking way. All I think about is how we get around the fucking AI. Like, I have been... Like, most of the conversations I've had in the last 4 years on this podcast are all misinformation.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm getting it all out there, so when it gets fed into the computer, I don't know what the fuck is going on.
I honestly can't think of anything that we haven't discussed on air. Like, what am I... What's the most personal, most secretive thing that you've ever revealed to me? Oh, I know.
Yeah.
I know your internet password.
Oh, yeah. There you go. So,
yeah. I'd ask you what your internet password is. In fact, I think I shared that with our producer at Listener, who is trying to update some philosophy stuff. She's like, I need Will's login. I'm like, I know that.
giant sperm.
What would be the one to trip up my AI me?
I mean, I just...
My AI me, that's the worst sentence I've ever...
I'd ask you just something personal about, like, you know, like Gemma probably.
Right.
It would be something Gemma related that I won't say now because I don't want the fucking AI to know.
Okay.
But it would be something about that we know that from real life that we haven't discussed.
Yeah. I guess there are certain things.
Let's throw it open to the public.
I know, I haven't gone with a funny answer, but you honestly, you've got to fucking think about this thing. Like, of course I'm not going to say the password right now in this place where it's being recorded, which is the thing that is training the thing that I'm trying to get around.
It makes no fucking sense. Terrifying.
Have these people never seen a time travel fucking movie?
I know, right?
Do they not understand how this shit works?
And actually, maybe all the...
We've got to keep the secret secret.
The microphone fuckery might be saving us in the long run, because the AI, there's going to be huge gaps in its knowledge because we can't get the microphones working, which means we can't put the information out there. So we're actually saving ourselves in the long run.
The AI will be confused by the weird pauses in the episodes where something seemed to meant to have been that was never inserted there.
I'll know your AI because your AI version will be talking to me and it'll just freeze.
Yeah.
Like, and keep talking. Keeps mentioning John Dix's dick for some reason. I don't know why.
I mean, that felt like a glitch in the Matrix, didn't it? Like, that felt like you're like, I don't know how I'd fucking find out if it was the real John or not, because you're a fucking different guy every time you come to this podcast.
Avatar. Okay, you got another question?
Are you out already?
I've got nothing.
Okay, this must be there you go.
Hang on.
Oh.
How long have we been going for? Do you need to...
No, no, we're good.
Okay.
We can do the... How many, I mean, it's left.
Great that you gave me no information. You didn't think I needed more than we're good? Give me some sort of idea of where we were, how long we've been going for, but... No, we're good is what I got.
Now, you both said that you're sick of superhero movies, so what do you think of Crow Reboot, a reboot trailer?
The Crow Reboot. Crow Reboot trailer. Have you, has everyone seen the Crow Reboot?
Who is the Crow now?
Bill Skarsgård, Pennywise.
You know what? As long as they also kill him on set. We've already got enough Skarsgårds. I think we can all agree that we can lose one Skarsgård for the...
Are they the daddos of the Norwegian acting community?
Yeah.
I mean, I bet you don't even know which one Bill is exactly. So, Is Bill it?
Bill is it. Have you seen the trailer for this new Crow?
No.
All right, okay. So you know the original Crow is like 90s goth, like encapsulated.
Yes.
What they've gone for in this new version is like, imagine Post Malone goes on like a revenge killing. So he's got like face tattoos now and he's been described as like Florida Joker. That's kind of, so the internet is up in arms about this new Crow because like it's shitting on the memory of the original film and it's just that they're using hip hop instead of like goth music from the 90s and stuff. I quite like the trailer. I actually thought this looks fun. I like this. You got a ripped Bill Skarsgård killing bad guys. I was in. So there's your answer. Yeah, I liked it.
There you go.
Not seeing it unless they kill him.
This is another one from JD, and it's quite a good one.
Okay.
Get it, and we'll have to do it one at a time. All right. I will indicate to the room as to which.
You know what? John's got a long mic lead, so if he can get to the person.
Okay.
All right.
So hands up then. People, put your hand up. There you go. Oh no, we're back. We're back.
He's all right. He's back.
We need jobs.
Maybe we don't need to cross the streams. Maybe we just all sit in our seats and we can get people to yell out. It's a small room. We'll repeat it into
the microphone. Get a few people to shout out their jobs and you guys decide whether or not you could quantum leap into them successfully.
Love it. That's good. Okay, so just to explain,
we did an episode once where we went through occupations and we said whether or not we thought we could successfully quantum leap into that job.
Could you just like fake what, 24 hours, right?
Yeah, 24 hours in that occupation. Okay, so do you have any volunteers who want to yell out a job?
Yeah, up there?
Yeah. Doctor.
Is that your actual job?
Yeah. Nah.
I want an actual job. That's not I want a real job.
Yeah, but I'm. You know what? I want to answer Dick Doctor.
Well, can I
absolutely
just say
absolutely 24 hours, I'd fucking love to be a Dick Doctor. For 24 hours? Fucking one of the most fun... Because you don't have to fix anything in 24...
You can start now.
Get your microscope.
But 24 hours of like diagnosing... Sorry, someone's not happy about that.
All right, maybe I'll... we're not going to get any tributes. No, I'm just going to just have to ask. What's your job, please, man?
I'm a special education teacher.
Special ed.
Oh.
Yeah.
Thank you for the work you do. Could you be a special ed teacher?
Yeah, that's my level. So... Yeah.
Well, the thing is...
You were all a bit nervous that I wouldn't go there, but I did.
The thing about quantum leaping is it's not about being able to do the job successfully. It's been able to fake it for 24 hours. So even like with the dick doctor thing, like I think if you sort of quantum leap and you're in surgery, could you successfully like pad? Like, oh yeah, I'm about to cup it. Yeah. Who wants a coffee? Coffee, anyone? Okay. I'm just going to go to the hospital cafeteria. I'll be back. Like, do you think you could successfully just like vamp and pad in a surgery? Is that possible? Do doctors do that? I'm about to... Yeah. You know what? Who watched WrestleMania? It was amazing. Spoilers, Gunther lost the Intercontinental title. No one thought it would happen, but it did.
You're still being the doctor in this movie, right?
All I got to do is survive 24 hours.
24 hours. I mean, I'm not... If I'm in surgery, I'm not padding. I'm immediately faking a migraine or something and saying we have to stop the
That's
surgery.
That's always your answer to the quantum leap.
Why can't we podcast today?
I've got a migraine. Yeah. But I mean, but that is the thing to do if you're in dick surgery. I'm assuming that most of my day is going to be like, ooh, something wrong with that. You should get that a second opinion. Because that's the great thing about medical as well. You can always say, get a second opinion. And the next one will probably be better because it's from a doctor.
Could you... Is it the kind of situation where just say, let's... So it's a dick enlargement surgery. Okay. Like you're putting one of those extended things
going.
In. Okay. Is it possible if you are the head surgeon and quantum leaped in that you could turn to like, I don't know, one of the nurses or be like, you know what? You take it. Let's see what you got. I mean, can they do that?
Sure, just get the registrar in, they'll sort it out.
I mean, I know how to do it, but I just want to see if you know how to do it. Can you get away with a bit of that?
One more occupation from you, please, sir.
Engineer.
What kind?
Civil
engineer.
I could politely drive a train. For 24 hours? Fucking easy. Choo-choo, thanks for riding.
Like building bridges and shit? Roads, yeah. All right, clear it, put down some rocks, some tar, done. There's your road. That's fucking easy. Next. Next occupation.
What are you?
A federal environment assessment officer.
Fuck yeah.
Oh, this soil's...
Let me just double check. So say, for example, if a civil engineer is trying to build a highway, you're the one that goes and says, oh, hang on, there's a critically endangered frog
what
here.
Environmental impacts. And
yeah. I need to sort out. Wait. Hold the digger. I'm going to pull these frogs out.
Literally stop watching.
Mm. Do you work with Cleo?
How much asbestos is in all this stuff for the kids?
Yeah. I reckon I could do that. Yeah. There's a frog that lives here. Don't do it. Rubber stamp, no.
This guy next door keeps bringing down his green bin. What do you do, Boo?
1 o'clock in the morning, Osha's just got a fucking bin full of possums.
Sir?
Croupier.
Croupier.
Oh, in a casino.
Yeah. Ooh.
Is that what a croupier is?
Yeah, I think so. Is that what it is? You work at... You're a casino croupier.
Now, bear in mind, there's stories of, like, you just, it's quite thankless, but occasionally carry Packer or rolling.
Yeah.
There you go. Throw $100,000 your way.
I would definitely get my hands broken within 2 weeks of working in a casino.
You wouldn't be able to do it with your tiny hands.
That's true.
Your little fingers. You wouldn't be able to, like, get the cards out properly.
I could barely, shove the chips into my pocket.
Yeah. Can I ask a follow-up question? Like, is that all games or is there one specific game that you're, like, the...
I've got all games, yeah.
All games. What's your favourite game?
Roulette,
okay. Oh, yeah. Spin a wheel. I mean, you could do that.
Ah! Come on down! New car!
I mean, that would be a great roulette thing, right?
That.
The wheel of fortune. Come down and see John Deeks spin the roulette
wheel.
Hey,
don't laugh. I have done that at Crown.
I know. Oh,
fuck yeah.
That's a fucking good bit.
Do they, like, say, for example, I have, I don't know, a couple of $1,000 in Underworld winnings and I walk into you and I put half of it on red and half of it on black. Do you have to go, oh, excuse me, pit boss, I think we've got one here? Or do you just go, hey, you now have free casino money?
I'll just laugh at you.
Oh, right, okay.
That was the most resounding yes I've ever heard in my entire life. That, I mean, smart, by the way. Good work.
Yeah, very clever.
I'm from...
Anyone got a really weird job?
All right. I thought that was pretty fun, but okay. Let's move
on. John said
up
enough.
There, what do you got?
I'm a systems engineer.
A systems engineer?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So could you, 24 hours, could I just sit at a computer and just do this? And when people ask for something, I'm like, I'm too busy.
To argue the validity of requirements.
You have to argue the validity of requirements. I love that you gave us more information and got us no closer to what it if, is
if
that
I,
you do.
If I may, it is drawing the critical path between product, you know, creation.
Also, don't mansplain to her.
Oh, I'm just asking to make sure. I was asking a question. Is that what it is? Like Gantt charts and shit?
Sometimes.
Yeah, that's the nicest way of her saying no that I have ever.
Which one are you the most organised or least organised?
Of the two of us?
Yeah.
We're both? Well, Will's pretty organised.
I mean, by necessity.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I don't present organised, but I know some of it's an illusion. Yeah. I couldn't get all the things done that I get done if I wasn't a little bit organised. I'm one of the busiest people consistently for the last 30 years. Like, I mean, I know I'm looking directly at you like you said something, but I just leaned over and I can't get back up. There we go. That's okay.
You're singing you, my song, Anderson, I'll tell you.
Oh, how are we going for time? Good?
All right. Okay, well. We got to probably another like five to ten.
Okay, five. If we get something good in the next 5 minutes, do we have something else to get to, or are we finishing on this bit?
Well, we do have one person who is in the contract writing department of the ABC.
Oh yeah.
So is that something you could do?
Oh, that'd be good for me. Put in a few.
What would you put in there?
Well, it'd actually be a couple of clauses I get rid of, if you know what I mean.
No more urine tests.
Oh, man. Now that it's medicine, I don't have to lie on the forms anymore. So.
And I don't have to supply the piss.
Yeah. The weird thing was, Charlie was also on weed. So I was actually
Calling Brian Fogle. We're going to make a sequel to Icarus with Toe Fop. It's going to be fucking great.
I was actually selling the piss. It's the only way we've made punny money on the podcast.
Charlie, could you please rank your favourite stand-up shows of Will's?
Oh, yeah. Oh, great. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah. Oh, there's so many.
Well, they're all so good.
Yeah, where do I start? There's obviously Will and Grace.
Yep.
Willing and Able.
Willing and Able, that was good. Did it with Able Tasman, of course.
Will Skarsgård was a great one.
Just name gigs that you've gone to and like, fuck, he was on tonight. Because he's probably remembered them a little easier.
Yeah. Just name gigs you've gone to. At any
Look,
stage.
The thing that makes
By
us
the way, I'm the one person who's not really leaning into this bit, because if you then go to Have You Ever Watched Blue Heelers or Home and Away?
Yeah. That's what
going to be a tough conversation. Both have a respect that, like, what brings us together is ignoring the rest of each
that's
other's
right.
lives.
We have...
This is where we meet. We don't have to be in each other's business all the time.
We have TOEFOP in common and then we just kind of stick to our own thing.
I mean, these are conversations we save for the purposes of this.
Yeah. So, you know, for the
it's
benefit...
It's not like I'm raising his fucking child.
But Will does good stuff on stage, I hear, and I'm supportive of every new show he does.
Thank you, Charlie.
And I will come see it at some point.
Exactly. You don't need to, honestly, man. Yeah. Like, you're already enough of a financial liability.
All right. And with that, the last question?
That's it.
Okay, guys, thank you so much. Now, we should probably let you guys know.
Can we plug Osher's show for him as well? When are you doing that again?
Oh, tonight's the very last night we're doing it.
At the Melbourne Comedy Festival.
Yes, we're doing it at the Greek.
People in the room first. So if people wanted to go and see your show tonight, what time is it?
8:30 p.m. tonight at the Greek. We're on level one. The cast gave me this. It's NTNN, NNN, Real Stories, Fake News. We make a fake news show.
What is it, though?
It's a fake news show. So Will Cameron did it the other night. I realised no one was ever going to give me a late night satirical news show, so I made one. And I tell the real stories every night, and then the cast have no idea what the news is. They then tell the stories as if they are news reporters, and it's fucking wild because Occam's Razor, they get it right so often, but they have no idea. It's like a way to do improv that isn't like, I'm a tree. It's really fucking... It's really wrong. It's really fun. Will did it the other night. We have a special guest every night. Tonight we have Tom Sainsbury. He's doing our guest reporter. But we also have Shanoa Allen, who is one half of Pajama Man. He's on the team tonight. Wow. It's the last time we're doing it in Melbourne. And considering the pilot we made for a network doesn't have enough money to make the show now, it might be the last time we do it ever. So tonight's the last
night. It shouldn't be. It's like, it is, honestly, it's a really fun show. It's like a proper, like, and I mean this in the nice way, bonkers, like, comedy festival style show, like where Osha's doing like new news every day, these improvisers doing a new show every night. It's like got this kind of like, you know, like mad in the right sort of way vibe to it. It's like a real good fun time, and I recommend it, and I hope
Thanks, man. I hope you do
it again.
I really love the other, it's very dangerous. My lawyer makes me read out a disclaimer before we do it.
Yeah, because I loved that. I was like, hearing you do that, I was going, fuck man.
Would you like me to do it?
Oh yeah, if you want, you come read it tonight. Yeah. Because like when I told him what we're doing, he's like, you're fucking what? Peter Dutton ruined someone's life over a tweet. You're really gonna do this? I'm like, yeah. So the other night, Will's on stage and he starts talking about a particularly tall super army soldier who might've got in trouble. And
to be clear, Ben Robert Smith. Just in case anyone is unfamiliar with who we're talking about, war criminal Ben Robert Smith. BCWC, war criminal, pusher of farmers off hill, barrier of evidence in backyard, Ben Robert Smith. Not in prison, still a hero apparently, Ben Robert Smith. Drank out of a dead person's leg for fun, Ben Robert Smith. Used to run Channel 7 and was supported by the head of Channel 7, who turns out likes to support a whole bunch of, let's name them all, Bruce Lerman, Andrew O'Keefe. I'm sure there's more.
You have fucking... You have way better lawyers than I do, man. Like,
fair cop.
So Will's doing that.
Your lawyer's got
He's lost. Doing that. And I'm like, I wanted to watch what he was doing, but I'm just looking at the crowd like as if anybody pulled out a phone, I was like going to shut it down. But it was fucking amazing. It's pretty dangerous. It's a fun show. We're on at 8:30. This is the last time we're doing it. Come see it.
And Dixie, where can people find you?
Well, people can find me at JB Hi-Fi. And doing any gigs I can do for you guys.
Okay. Well, that brings me to my next point. Yes. This is going to be a regular thing.
So
now.
This is... Yes. So this is why we've gathered you all here today.
Yeah. I'm going to take that applause to suggest that you guys have already bought a ticket for the next show, right? That's what that means. Yeah, that's a binding contract.
We would like to do some regular shows, basically, and we want to do them here in Melbourne and just kind of experiment with what this show is and what we're going to end up doing it with. And you feel like the people who would probably come along to some of those, so we wanted to just tell you all about it first. And yeah, we're going to come and do a series of shows. We don't know how many yet, but it'll probably be like a monthly show.
Yep.
And for a while.
Yeah. I mean, this was a sellout. That's a pretty good... You sold this out. Right.
So that is Tofop Live. Here's John Deeks.
Right.
Osher Ginsberg, Will Anderson,
Charlie Clausen!
Thank you, everybody. Have a great day.